Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Internally, we refer to my monthly conversations with Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles as Mike and the Mayor. Today, though, it is Mike and the Mayors, Lake Norman edition, because we have on the program the mayors of the three towns in northern Mecklenburg County. John Annarella is the mayor of Huntersville. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Woody Washam is mayor of Cornelius. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Rusty Knox is the mayor of Davidson. Nice to have you with us, too.
Good to be here.
All three braved the rush hour traffic on I-77 to get here, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about, traffic and how it's expanded due to rampant growth, and we will not skirt the controversial issue of the toll lanes. Because of the popularity of the area, these three towns are struggling to cope with the challenges of growth and development as a region while also maintaining individual identities. Next Thursday evening, we're going to be holding a public conversation at 7 o'clock at the Maranka campus of CPCC on this topic, and you can get more information on our website about that at WFAE.org. But consider this a primer, or the executive edition of that conversation. If you'd like to join that conversation, you can. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Get to us through Facebook. Actually, you can't do any of that. I apologize. I have no internet, so I cannot do any of that today. Okay. Let's start with I-77. How was the drive down? I'll start with you, Rusty.
Even following my Siri directions, it took me an hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 10. How about you? And you're coming from Davidson.
From Davidson.
So you have the farthest to come. Woody, you came from Cornelius.
I did. It was about an hour, and actually it was one of my better trips, Dan. You never know, but yeah. Today was pretty good.
And you made it, John, in 45 minutes. What's your secret?
I left later than they did.
Okay. I see you have to beat the traffic by leaving late. Okay, so what do you see? I'm going to go around the table. We'll start this and make sure I hit all the high spots of this conversation. What do you see as your constituents' top three concerns? And I'll start with you, John.
Well, needless to say, traffic and congestion are a big issue in all of North Mecklenburg. In addition to that, I think growth and what balance you can put to allowing development but not going too crazy. Mm-hmm. And then schools. Schools are always a big issue in North Mecklenburg if you've lived there for any period of time. We are in lacking of schools right now, and it doesn't look like CMS has a plan for us.
Okay. Rusty Knox.
In Davidson, traffic, naturally. Our infrastructure is so archaic and so antiquated as far as moving north and south and east and west. That's our biggest problem. Growth, property owners' rights. We're always concerned and always try to keep growth in check in Davidson. And with that, when I'm talking growth, I'm talking about school populace as well. And then our third biggest concern is housing and affordability in Davidson, and that's not just market rate housing, but that's affordable housing as well.
Let's turn to Cornelius. Woody.
Well, on top of our list as far as the big umbrella issue would be the quality of life. We work hard to maintain a quality of life that is unsurpassed anywhere, and that's tough. But as subsets of that, we have the transportation piece that we are working hard to make better. We have our public safety piece, and we have how we pay our employees to keep top-rated employees within our city to serve our citizens. So those would pretty much rank up on top, and all of that adds up to growth as affecting the issue.
So when you say transportation, are you talking about traffic and congestion and infrastructure for traffic and things like that?
I am. Okay. And but overall transportation, including mass transit, bus rapid transit, and all the things that we need that we don't really have to the extent we need right now.
Okay. So let's start with the toll lanes, because construction is way past its completion date, and the work continues. There are stretches that don't appear that they will be ready until, I don't know, 2025, the way things look out there. What do the three of you know about a completion date? Are you in the loop? Do they talk to you about this?
Well, I think our transportation people probably know a little bit more. The best I can tell you is that North Mecklenburg will be open first. And when that date is?
Soon, though, right?
Oh, sooner than the end of the year, but I don't know exactly.
What's the point of opening that? If it's not going to go all the way, why open it at all?
Well, I think they need to start generating some type of revenues because the model doesn't work.
So they're going to charge you, even though it's not
complete. Yeah, there's some discounted fee that they'll be charging until it's fully open.
And Woody, you were against this project from the very beginning. Are you still against it today?
I am. I don't think toll roads are our solution by any means. So, yes, I'm opposed to the toll concept. However, at this particular point in time, we need to get the pavement on the ground, and then we'll deal with it the best we can.
You have the farthest to drive up in Davidson when this thing opens. Do you see this as something that will reduce traffic congestion, Rusty Knox?
Or no, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. I think.
Why are we doing it then?
Well, you wonder. I wonder, and a lot of people wonder. It's...
You all agree with that, by the way? It's not going to reduce traffic congestion at all? You all agree with that?
It is not going to reduce long-term traffic congestion. It may have a very quick blip because there will be some people using
it. And I agree with that. I think we will see a quick blip. It's got to help just a little bit, but yeah. In terms of the overall long range, I'm very concerned about
right.
that.
So, and come back.
I came through Atlanta Sunday mm-hmm. where you've got 8 lanes of general-purpose lanes. And it was still full. You can't pave your way out of this. So the toll lanes on the Sunday when I came through Atlanta had a handful of cars, and that was it. Now it was Sunday. It was not rush hour. But I don't think the toll lanes were ever the answer. And for me right now, knowing that the construction is almost complete at the north end up until about exit 18, say, it'd be great if those lanes – instead of a discounted rate, we're just opened up for general purpose lanes to start off with.
If that's not the answer, if toll lanes were never the answer and they're not going to be the answer, what is the answer? Is there a consensus on that?
Well, you know, we're looking at other alternative routes to get north and south and east and west, so keep you off the I-77 or 21.
Doesn't that just move the congestion from one place to another? Onto roads that really are not equipped to handle that kind of a flow or that kind of speed? Are you really just trading one problem for another?
Well, what we're really looking at is how do you reduce the local traffic on I-77? I mean, people are going to be going north and south, you know, mm-hmm. from Ohio to Florida and so forth. But we're looking, how do we affect the lives of our citizens as best we can? So we're looking at a north-south parkway that would be on the eastern side of the towns, widening 21 and widening 115. Bus rapid transit, I think, will be a great benefit to the community. So you'll be able to get into the toll lanes with a bus pass. But also you can carpool. Three of you can go in the toll lane and not have to pay.
So are you talking all three of you, I would imagine, are in the loop with this parkway idea, right?
We are. Right.
So are you talking about a completely new road or repurposing an existing road?
Both. Yesterday, the Lake Norman Transportation Commission released a new map showing three different corridors, north and south corridors. And the connotation of parkway scared a lot of people because, you saw this worm on a map that came right up our ETJ, our extraterritorial jurisdiction, on Shear Road. And everybody had the fear of four lanes. Now you're going to have three alternate roads that head north-south. One of them will be Shear Road, but we'll improve that road for bike and ped. Another one will be a new road that connects at Poplar Tent Road and goes north to Highway 3, where Cabarrus County is getting ready to open up about 33,000 acres for development.
And what would be the terminus in either direction?
485 will be the exit point, so to speak.
If you're still coming to Charlotte, you're still going to get on 77 at some point.
Not necessarily. You go 485 to 85, and then
why would you want to do that?
Well,
if you get on 85, like I said, it's really you still have to get on 77 if you're coming downtown.
It's really about the local traffic, trying to keep the locals, right, you know, moving.
Well, I think for us too, Mike, that the public transportation, we all sit on the MTC, and when you look at the metrics and the numbers that we have every month, our bus ridership for Huntersville, Davis, and Cornelius, just bus ridership alone, comprises about 60% of all the bus ridership in the CAT system. So our folks are taking public transportation,
right,
on a regular basis in a large volume. And so we've got to lean on that.
What's your timetable for these alternative routes?
Can't happen fast enough, number one. But one of the things I want to make clear is the North-South Parkway concept. It's a great concept. It doesn't really touch my town, which is okay, but it'll serve my citizens, which is even better. But, you know, Highway 21 is a key component of this. But we've got one obstacle to Highway 21, and that is Lake Norman. It complicates our whole transportation system in North Mecklenburg and South Iredell. So our dream would be, I think we can all say, our dream would be to figure out a way to extend Highway 21 across Lake Norman and continuing on up toward Mooresville. So that's a ways off. It's very expensive.
Well, we're talking about, what, 10 years, 20 years, less, more?
For the Parkway?
For the Parkway. Let's start there.
Well, so the Parkway, this is not a DOT project.
Right.
So this is going to be development-driven, and a lot of the funding will be developer-funded. So there will be sections of this road, this parkway,
right,
that will be completed as development naturally occurs.
So if you want a permit to build, you're saying you're going to have to kick in some money for this widening roads and things like that?
More than likely. It's not an impact fee, which we don't have in North Carolina anymore, and I wish we would implement them again. South Carolina has taken measures to implement impact fees again for development.
Well, getting back to the I-77 thing, which is impending, there's a group called the I-77 Business Plan that wants to buy out these lanes once they're up and running. They say they have to open first. I don't know why that is, before they can buy them. And they also have to generate revenue so that people will know what it will cost to buy them out. Do you believe that there's a ghost of a chance that this would happen? Where would the money come from? And if they are successful in buying it out, does it become theirs to charge tolls on, or are they just going to open the lanes and let the public use them? What's the plan?
I mean, I think right now, you know, the theory of how much these toll lanes are going to be able to generate is hard to negotiate against. So I think philosophically, if they're open for 2 or 3 years and you see what the actual revenues are, you probably have a better shot at getting a discount, so to speak, of what their projections are. So I think that's kind of where they're looking. Where would the money come from? It would have to come from the state would have to assume the liability and then run the toll just like they're running the toll down in Monroe.
So what's the point? Is the point to take it out of the hands of Cintra and I-77 Mobility Partners, who have a 50-year contract, not just on collecting the tolls, but on any future changes?
I think we would all feel better if it were state-controlled and not controlled by this private developer. That would actually give us relief on the 50-year, because at this point it's complicated. There are provisions that would be events that would cause the state to have to come up with more money to widen the road.
Right.
For 50 years, that's just not that's not an option.
You're all politicians. Why did this happen? It seemed like this was shoved down people's throats before they even recognized that it was happening, and it couldn't stop. It was too late to stop it. Why? And we only have 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
That's it.
Okay.
I tell you what, we'll come back because it looks like you have an answer. Yeah, you have a look on your face like you might have an answer to this, John Anarella. He's the mayor of Huntersville. We have the mayor of Cornelius and Davidson with us, too, at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to the mayors of our North Mecklenburg towns. Woody Washam is mayor of Cornelius, Rusty Knox, mayor of Davidson, John Anarella is the mayor of Huntersville. And we were talking about the toll lanes just before the break. And, John, it looked like you had an idea, an answer to my question about why this toll – nobody likes the idea of these toll lanes. They came to us relatively quickly in the dark of night as a fait accompli, and then it was too late to do anything about it despite all the opposition. We kept being told, too late, can't change it, got to go, we got to move forward. What, you're politicians. Why is that?
Well, I don't actually think I'm a politician, but the bottom line is when you go back to 2011-12, road allocation money was just a different. It was more political. And the North Mecklenburg area was told there's just never going to be a chance to get the money.
Why?
Because that's the way it's been. Now, I think most of us here were looking at that and saying, well, wait a minute, let's change the way road funding happens in North Carolina. You'll need a new governor and a new elected officials. And that's what happened in 2012. So when that changed, that took the toll road project out of the way roads are being funded today. And that's why we're having a hard time with the, you know, creating a solution. Right. So since that change, Huntersville will have $550 million or more dollars of road improvements over the next 5 or 6 years. I think Cornelius is a couple hundred million.
Yeah,
and Davidson has a substantial amount. So we're having over almost $750 million worth of improvements. The problem is the toll project was approved well before the new way of funding. So.
Well, and, as you've all pointed out, it's not just I-77 congestion that is the problem. It is congestion as more people, more cars, more neighborhoods, more shopping malls, more this, more that, come to all three of your towns. How would you compare the congestion you experience locally in your towns to what it was just 5 or 10 years ago? Let's begin in Davidson, Rusty.
Well, we've added about 900 rooftops in the last 5 years. We've got about 1,500 or 1,800 more rooftops that are approved that are in some level of construction right now. So, you know, what we've seen is our feeder roads that come in and go out of town
right. Are
continuing to back up, and they're getting worse. I would say that the overall traffic conditions, and we just got this back from our National Citizen Survey, that was one of the biggest negatives that citizens talked about was traffic.
Davidson has a nice downtown. Can you park?
You can, actually. We just did a parking survey last year. We were only 6 parking spaces deficient. You can't always park in front of the restaurant you want to eat at, but you can find a parking space.
Okay. How about situation in Cornelius?
As it relates to parking?
No, as it relates to traffic and congestion locally in the town or in
the
environment.
Well, you know, we have grown in my lifetime as I grew up there from a town of about 1,500 people, now something beyond 32,000, going on 33. So you don't have that kind of growth without issues related to transportation. Our side streets are full. The traffic movement has infected our side streets now. So we're looking at alternatives to connect our neighborhoods and give folks some alternatives to get around in our community, and it's helping, but it's got a ways to go.
I'm not even going to ask about Huntersville because I go to Huntersville a lot, and it's traffic city, right?
At certain times of the day, okay. It certainly is.
For people who are listening who may be new to Charlotte or to the region or don't go to Northern Mecklenburg County, I want to give out some facts and figures. You just gave a few as well, Woody. But this will shock people, I think. It shocked me. In 1990, wasn't that long ago, the population of Huntersville was 3,000. Cornelius, 2,600. Davidson, big dog back then, 4,000 people in Davidson. Now, in 2017, which is the last year we have numbers for, Huntersville population went from 3,000 to close to 60,000, Cornelius to just over 30,000, around 33,000, you say. Davidson now is at 13,000. That means the region has grown from 10,000 in 1990 to over 100,000 people in 27 years. Did you see it coming?
Well, I certainly...
Did anybody see it? Not you personally, but did anybody see it coming? Did they make preparations for what was about to happen?
Absolutely not. I think the mode of operation has been, you get to a point that is where your misery factor is so high, then you may have the momentum to get it.
So you're like the frog in the pot.
Exactly. And, it's been a painful process. It continues to be a painful process for our citizens to get around our town. I hear it all the time. But these construction projects that Mayor Annarella talked about a minute ago are going to help. They're going to absolutely help. But since my time as an elected person, which started out in 2013, all this money has come our way. We've been very fortunate on the new ranking system that's in place, and we benefited from it so far. We knew we would because the numbers had to be there. Mm-hmm. So we're playing catch up. Playing catch up is never easy and it's never fun, but we're playing catch up.
So in Cornelius, I believe it's Cornelius, exit 28 is Cornelius,
yes.
Right? You have this new interchange, this crazy, wacky interchange that I didn't know it was there, and I got onto it in the darkness of night, and I thought I had suddenly arrived in England because we were driving on the wrong side of the road, and I didn't know what to do. Is that causing problems? It's a thing where you get it's designed so that you can get on and off the interstate fairly easily, but then you have to go to the wrong side of the road in both directions to get to where you're going.
Exactly. The concept is called a diverging diamond, and it's used in other parts of the country and other parts of the world.
How does it help? It's very confusing to me.
It actually, the biggest factor that it helps with is it has reduced our accident rate at that intersection
really?
By something like 50% to 60% over the previous numbers that we had to work with. But that makes it worthwhile to me. It takes some getting used to, as you know. So our citizens are getting used to it now. We've got two bookend intersections that we need to fix, i.e. Highway 21 and the Torrance Chapel Road intersection. Work is underway, funding is in place, and once we get that done, it'll work even better.
And you put in some roundabouts. You've had roundabouts up in Davidson for a while, but you've put in additional roundabouts, is that right?
We have four more slated, mm-hmm. And I joke around with people that if you come from Charlotte and now get off at exit 30, when all the roundabouts are in place, if you wanted to go play golf at River Run Country Club, you will drive through seven roundabouts for that 4 miles.
Really?
They've helped mitigate traffic, though. Once people drive them and realize what they're all about, we still have those people that get in the middle of the circle and they stop. They don't know what to do. They put on their turn signals, and it's like they've never seen a roundabout before. Yeah. But I wasn't enthusiastic about the whole neo-traditional planning that encompassed roundabouts until I saw what they did to mitigate traffic and keep the flow moving, and they work.
Neo-traditional. Just don't make them like DuPont Circle, where there's an inner roundabout and an outer roundabout, and you have to make, depending on where you're going, you have to go negotiate getting in and out of those roundabouts in the roundabout.
Right.
It takes two or three circles sometimes to do it. In Huntersville, there's a road project on North Carolina 73 through the heart of Huntersville near Brookdale Village, all the way to Concord, and then on to Denver in the other direction. How might that impact you when it's said and done?
Well, you know, this is really an interesting question because NCDOT's number one job is to move traffic.
Okay.
And they want to move traffic as fast and efficiently as possible. But that conflicts with your day-to-day activity and your quality of life. So it will affect certain areas negatively because you'll be limited in terms of your movements that you can do, say, exiting your neighborhood. They don't like left-hand turns, and left-hand turns cause accidents and slow traffic down. However, we have commerce that goes on in our town, and we have livability questions, and people want to walk someplace. So we've had a little bit of conflict with NCDOT about some of their intersections. Ultimately, they'll make the decision, but we've given them a lot of input.
We aren't the only area. Yours isn't the only area that has experienced explosive growth since the 1950s. Are there places that have done it exceptionally well, put in infrastructure that seems to work for everybody, that maintains quality of life, maintains traffic flow, helps you deal with more people and more places to go in an easy way that you can just copy from?
Well, you know, I like Cary, North Carolina. I think they've done a great job with their infrastructure. And in addition, we have Birkdale Village in Huntersville, Cornelius area. They have multiple Birkdale Villages throughout their community. It's about 110,000.
Right.
And it kind of disperses the traffic throughout the community. But they have major infrastructure. But they built it as the people were coming there. We're still catching up.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Charlotte seems to always be catching up. We don't. You go to South Carolina, they got these 8-lane roads with nothing on either side, and they go for miles. But someday there will be things on either side, and when that happens, there won't be traffic problems. Why aren't we like that?
Well, the main reason is they had the political clout and the funding mechanisms to put this in place and stay ahead of the curve. The political Charlotte stigma, I guess, if you call it that, if you believe that it's real, I believe it's real, particularly in the legislature, is a tough hill to climb. But with the scoring system that we've all put in, that we've all been talking about, and that's in place now, the numbers are the numbers. The numbers talk, and that has made the difference for us. So hopefully, that's going to going forward take the political weighings out of it and make it into a strategic decision.
So I gave out all these numbers about explosive growth in all these areas, and the slowest growth used to be in Davidson, used to be the biggest of the three towns, and now you're not. You're the smallest of the three towns. How did you, with the quaintness of Davidson that people seem to really like, how did you stave off this explosive growth that everybody else has succumbed to?
Well, couple things. Number one, our ordinance is so restrictive going in as far as what we do and don't approve. Secondly, is adequate public facilities. If you don't have infrastructure, if you don't have water and sewer extended, growth is going to just come naturally, and it's going to come at a slower pace. If
was
Charlotte
that, was water, that deliberate, or did you just couldn't get the extension?
I think it, a lot of it's deliberate. There were back in 2000. CMUD at the time, which is Charlotte Water now,
right,
had a project they were going to extend all the way up the west prong of the Rocky River that would have opened up water and sewer to our entire ETJ. And that project died, and that kept us rural in nature in that corridor of town.
And that died because?
Well, it died really because the town couldn't provide the adequate public facilities that we didn't have police and fire capabilities to service that area had it developed.
But that's not the case in Cornelius. It's not the case in Huntersville.
Well, I want to brag on my town just a little bit at this particular point, because we've been trying to get a control in place for this growth for many years now, even before my time of service on the board. And we've done a pretty good job. We're down now to somewhere around 450 units that have been approved coming out of the ground, compared to Huntersville with 5,000 or 6,000 and Davidson with probably 2,000 or 3,000, something in that nature. And so we've come a long way. We have some geographic constraints created by the lake and the boundaries of the other towns. We're getting pretty close to grown out, if you will. I don't know if that's a proper term or not, but we're just about full. So we kind of know where we're headed, and that's a good feeling.
Charlotte talks a lot about its need for affordable housing, and I think they talk about it in a regional way, but really they're talking about Charlotte proper, because we're talking about Mayor Lyles and others on the city council talking about this a lot. You obviously, this is a concern for you. One would imagine it is a concern for you, but your areas are also attracting high-income earners, and a lot of real estate is very expensive in your three towns. How concerned are you about the need for affordable housing? I mean, you've got this goose laying golden eggs up there. Do you care?
We do. In Davidson, our ordinance actually says that 12.5% of all new construction will be affordable. And you can buy your way out of that, but it's not cheap.
Do people try? Developers, do they try?
Almost everybody pays their way out of it. We do have a couple of developers who will step up and do the right thing and build some affordable units in their neighborhoods. But more times than not, they do a payment in lieu, and we take those funds, which are in excess of $2 million right now, and we use those to look at potential acquisition of land down the road. We use it for aging in place folks that don't meet the 80-20 AMI, mm-hmm. And we can do remodeling, emergency repairs of their homes. And in some cases, we buy some homes and put them into our Housing Coalition Fund.
We just recently did a program, I believe, Woody, you were on the program.
I was.
About a smaller area called Pottstown?
Actually, Smithville. Smithville.
Excuse me.
Pottstown's in Huntersville.
Okay, in Cornelius, which you were trying to put a road through it, and the residents got up in arms about it. They fought back. They won. Did that, and this was an affordable housing situation. People had been there for 100 years, and they didn't want to leave. And they thought that this road would cause that gentrification to begin and also displace a lot of people. Did that open a lot of people's eyes, that fight that they won? Did that open a lot of people's eyes?
Well, I don't know that any particular group won. Certainly, I think the town won. I think DOT won in the long range. And I think the end of the story is we're going to have a better project. And that's what this is all about. But I do want to make it clear that we, in all of our North Mecklenburg towns, absolutely believe we have an affordable housing problem, mm-hmm. and issue. So we contracted an affordable housing study through our Economic Development Corporation a while back. We've now got the results in. Great, great study that has informed us and educated us. It will lead us to a bigger and better and more substantial affordable housing policy for my town. I suspect the other towns will relook that as well. So that's the foundation, and we're going to be moving toward fixing that, because if we don't, it's going to impact our ability to grow economically in our community with jobs.
What about Huntersville?
Well, you know, Huntersville is in a different situation than both of the towns. We're 64 square miles, so we still have a lot of land. Land is getting more expensive. I kind of look at it a little bit differently than my northern friends in Davidson, which now, what are you, the most expensive place in?
We are.
So what we're trying to do is figure out how to keep the cost of living or cost of doing business in Huntersville as low as possible.
John Anarella is the mayor of Huntersville. He's here with Rusty Knox, the mayor of Davidson, and Woody Washam, the mayor of Cornelius. We're going to talk about downtowns, maintaining identity, about schools, and about how they work together as a region, because we have three individual mayors of three individual towns, but that's a region of Mecklenburg County. We'll talk about that when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Lake Norman area towns Huntersville, Cornelius, and Davidson have experienced exponential growth in the last two decades. As a result, the area has faced challenges with development, transportation, and maintaining vibrant downtowns as leaders and planners work to keep up with rising numbers of residents. I'm Mike Collins. Join me for a special public conversation on growing pains in Lake Norman Thursday, April 18th at CPCC's Maracas campus in Huntersville at 7 p.m. For details and registration, go to WFAE.org. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the northern part of Mecklenburg County and the three towns that make it up. That would be Davidson to the far north. Rusty Knox is the mayor of that town. He's with us. The most expensive, what is it called? The most expensive town in North Carolina?
Expensive town in North Carolina.
All right. Lucky you. Woody Washam is the mayor of Cornelius, sandwiched in between Davidson and Huntersville. And Huntersville Mayor John Anarella is with us as well. All three of you are unique towns. I'm sure that as Charlotte has grown and pushed people to the fringes of the city of Charlotte, you're taking up a lot of the slack. A lot of people live there and work there, and live there. How important is it to each of you to maintain a distinct identity separate from Charlotte? Let's start with Huntersville. You're the closest suburb in.
Yeah, you know, I think Huntersville has been struggling with that over the last 10 years or 15 years. We don't have that unique downtown like Davidson.
Are you a creation of Sproul? is Huntersville essentially a creation of sprawl?
We're definitely your first stop. I mean, 80% of our citizens work someplace else.
Okay.
So we're your first stop when you're coming out of Charlotte to look for housing. We don't have as much of the lake as Cornelius. So we're kind of struggling with that. How do you create that identity? And I think what we have to do and what we've been planning to do for a number of years now is to develop a core downtown. So people will have a community to come to. And
'cause I think when I think of Huntersville, I think of Brookdale Village.
Right, and that's diverted a lot of what people think of a downtown. You know, I moved to Huntersville 22 years ago. That was a cow farm. That could have been redone in our downtown, but it was easier and cheaper to do over there. And it's been a great thing for the whole area.
Sure.
But I think, you know, we're struggling with that. I mean, we have an historical society. We have an arts committee. It's all concentrated on developing downtown.
One of our producers lives in Huntersville. She said that Huntersville has four downtowns. You have the original downtown. I'm not sure where that is. Where is that?
Well, it's on 115 and Gilead Road.
You have the hospital area. You have the Disney World of Huntersville, Brookdale Village. And you have a place that's kind of anchored by Target and Lowe's and Home Depot. Would that be accurate in your mind?
Well, you know, that's a shopping downtown. But, you know, I think that's part of the struggle. And you know, we actually tomorrow we're having a big meeting at Town Hall to what I think will be the pivotal moment of our downtown. We'll probably create a new town hall and put up for sale about four or five of the properties that the town owns to the development community.
Cornelius actually has its original downtown, but you also cross over toward the lake. And is it important to you that your original downtown be thought of as the locus, as the center of Cornelius, or does a spread out approach where you have people on one side of I-77 and the other side of I-77 as part of your whole area?
We do have a little bit of the east-west concept, but the strength of our downtown is moving in the right direction, and it's all pivoted around a bond referendum we had back in 2013 where the voters passed $4 million to support downtown redevelopment, which includes an art center. So the reality of now called the Kane Center for the Arts is moving along. It's a public-private arrangement. We're about halfway there in our $25 million fundraise. Once that was announced, it was a pivotal moment for downtown. It took off in the right direction with the announcement of OMB, and several other breweries are looking in that area. Antiquity is growing like wildfire. Many residents moving in there, and our downtown Old Town Cornelius voting precinct is by far the biggest precinct of all of our precincts in town, for the three. So it's moving in the right direction.
It's my impression, and I could be completely wrong about this, Rusty Knox, but it seems to me that Davidson has the easiest road to hoe when it goes to maintaining an identity unto itself and a downtown unto itself, because you're kind of the last outpost of civilization before you get to, I guess, Statesville.
Or
Mooresville, excuse me. But you also are anchored by the college, which gives you an identity.
Well, and our downtown is special. Our main street, for me, is hallowed ground. And the reason I'm sitting here as the mayor of Davidson is because of a project that the town tried to implement about 4 years ago called the Downtown Catalyst Project. And it would have brought high-rise apartments, a hotel. They would have torn down the existing town hall, and it would have changed the fiber of what downtown Davidson was. And I got engaged in social media, and the next thing I know, I'm running for mayor. And the work that we have to do to protect Main Street is easy now. People come there for Main Street.
Right.
We are now a destination. We have 13 restaurants on Main Street, so we're a foodie location. And just last week, I was eating at Kindred. I was eating lunch. The couple beside me had driven from Raleigh to Davidson to eat at Kindred.
Wow.
So our Main Street is our Main Street, and having the college across the street is just icing on the cake.
Is it easier for you because of the college to be thought of as someplace special, as an individual island of unto yourself, as opposed to Huntersville, which is kind of we're blurring the lines between Huntersville and Charlotte in that location?
Well, I don't view us as an island, and I'll say that and segue to the relationship I have with John and Woody. I think our relationship regionally has blended us together. The Kane Center for Performing Arts, for example, is a regional arts center. Okay. It's located in Corneas, but it's going to serve all of us. The new North Mech Athletic Facility that's going to be built on 115 is going to serve all of us. And even though our towns each have individual identities, we also realize that at the far extreme of Mecklenburg County, at 13,000, 30,000, and 62,000, we have a voice. But at 100,000 collectively, we have a larger voice where Mecklenburg County listens to
us. Let's talk about regional cooperation, because as you're trying to maintain identity and protect your own individual towns and make them protect the quality of life in those towns and make them special places to live, you're also working together. That's something that's very clear. And all three of you fund what is called the LKNEDC, the Lake Norman Economic Development, I guess, Corporation. Is that what the C is for?
Yes.
This may sound like a stupid question, but given the rampant growth that you've all experienced, why fund an economic development organization? Why do you want more people to come?
Well, they're bringing businesses. And
doesn't that bring people?
Correct. But then those businesses pay a different tax, so to speak. Well, you know, they don't use the services of schools. They don't use the, hopefully not the police
businesses
department.
Don't, but the people that they employ do.
Right. So you would like to have a balance between your tax base of commercial versus residential. In addition, you want, instead of 80% of your people working someplace else, it'd be nice if they just worked in your town or close to your town. So that's what I think Huntersville is going to differentiate itself over the next 5 or 10 years. We have that land, and we also have the ability to recruit more businesses because of that land. So I think it'll help all of North Mecklenburg that people won't have to travel to Charlotte, so to speak.
So it keeps the traffic local.
It will.
As opposed to using I-77, because there will be jobs in the town.
Correct.
Same thing for Cornelius. Like, you're very close to Huntersville.
We are. And a little known fact is the three towns years ago came together and started a commercial industrial park. It's actually located in Huntersville because they had the land. But we all benefit from it. We basically share the expenses and share some of the income coming out of that. And we didn't have the land to develop for large industrial clients and large job creators and things like that. And in my town, we have some, but we have probably 400 or 500 acres left, and that's it. So we needed to reach out and work on providing jobs for our citizens, and that was one way to do that. And it's worked pretty well. It's not perfect, but it's worked pretty well.
There is regional cooperation and regional goals, I would think, but there'll have to be places where each of you, because you're distinct towns with distinct challenges, where your goals diverge. How do you marry the two together, this need or desire for regional cooperation and also protecting Davidson, for
instance? Well, for us, you know, we've got a larger disparity between commercial and residential tax base. Only 18% of our tax base is commercial. So we're continually looking for commercial development to come to town. We don't need more rooftops. It'd be great to have more employment campuses and employment centers. We are currently redoing our comprehensive plan, and part of that is our mobility plan, and we just got the metrics back on that, and we have 7,800 people that commute into Davidson to work every day, which is great, but that is comprised of Davidson College, Ingersoll Rand, which the North American operations are there, and MSC Corporation. Mm-hmm. So everything else is small business. So, you know, we're trying the hotel motel thing. Naturally, the restaurants employ a few people. But, you know, we are trying to increase our commercial tax base at the same time protecting our quality of life for our residents that are there.
All three of your towns touch the lake, and the lake is a major attraction both for residential development and for tourism. Tourism is a big deal here. All three of your towns are funding Visit Lake Norman, which promotes travel and tourism in the area. How big an economic engine is that for these three towns?
It's a huge economic engine. You know, what we've all realized that is youth sports is a tremendous draw of folks to our community. It fills up our hotels, if not every weekend, pretty close to it. We all have great fields and great practice areas. We all work together. Visit Lake Norman draws us together to utilize the best of each town from a recreation standpoint.
Let me ask you how you visit Lake Norman, because it's my understanding that unless you own a house on the lake, there's only one point of access, public access to Lake Norman. Is that true?
In North Mecklenburg, yes. There's a beach, a little beach.
How is Lake Norman a tourist attraction if you can't get to it?
There are various ways you can get on the lake, though. Okay. through the big boats that are out there that do parties and events and things of that nature. We do have in my town, we have at least three restaurants on Lake Norman, including the Peninsula Yacht Club. Davidson has theirs, and I don't know about Huntersville. But
is there work being done to make greater access for the public available?
There is. We work on that quite a bit because we have the bulk of the shoreline. We have 75 miles of shoreline in the town limits of Cornelius, probably the most of any municipality in the state on a lake of that nature. And we're proud of that. It's helped our tax base. The beauty of living on the lake is indescribable. So it's been an economic engine and driver for our town.
How difficult or expensive is that for you to do, to protect access for the public to the lake when that land is so valuable for development?
It is quite difficult. It really is. But there are different commercial projects that are being considered. In our town, I know there's a project that Duke Energy, as part of their FERC requirements, is looking at to provide access to Lake Cornelius. A little bit controversial, but we'll work through that and get it in the right place. So there is opportunity. The Lake Norman YMCA, as you probably know, is located on Lake Cornelius. Okay. And so folks do have quite a bit of access.
I don't want to run out of time before we talk about schools. And I think John Annarella from Huntersville, you mentioned this early in the program, this friction that it seems to exist between the northern part of the county, particularly Huntersville, I think, and CMS. How would you assess the stress that your growth has placed on public schools?
Well, it's been constant. I mean, if you've lived in North Mecklenburg for the last 20 years, you know that CMS is typically reluctant to build the schools as the growth is happening. They tend to.
Is that your perception, or do you think that's reality?
If you want to count the number of trailers that were there in the early 2000s and now the number of trailers that are there now, they're not building the schools.
So last year, there was House Bill 514 that was a project of Representative Bill Brawley out of Matthews, and it would have allowed Matthews and Mint Hill and Huntersville and Cornelius and Davidson, which opted out, to have their own town charter schools. Where does that stand at the moment?
Well, right now, obviously it passed, and right now we set up a committee of citizens to look into a number of alternatives, including a municipal-led charter school. We hope to have their results, their recommendation in May, mm-hmm. So about a month from now, and then we'll make a decision if we want to move forward or not.
Why didn't you support this, Woody? Why doesn't Davidson see the same problem that Huntersville does?
Well, a couple factors. Number one, we're the caboose. We're at the end of the line. So redistricting is less negatively impactful on our kids than it is anywhere else. But additionally, I think that the crux of this problem started when the deficiency in rooms for students in Matthews came to the forefront, and of course Brawley represented that area, okay. and that's where this thing, I think, grew wings and started to fly.
And do you share the same sentiments? Do people of Cornelius share the same sentiments that people of Huntersville do about the school?
To some degree, but it's a little different. We've got four great schools in our community with Charlotte-Mecklenburg. We're pleased with our schools, but they're overcrowded, and they're getting more overcrowded. We have the same type of study commission going on. We're looking for a recommendation down the road. They're both working through and working together with Huntersville, but at the same time, we're concerned about it, and I'm not sure exactly we'll end up in the same place, but we want to make a good, educated, data-driven decision when we get there.
The guy in the middle gets the last word. Woody Washam, mayor of Cornelius. To the north of him, Rusty Knox, the mayor of Davidson. To the south of him, John Anarella, mayor of Huntersville. Thank you all for the hour. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.